Welcome to part two of our conversation about the Haunted Myrtles Plantation. How often did you have guests that would come to you and ask you that very question that you asked at the beginning, is this place haunted? Not just because they were, you know, curious just because of the setting, but because they had an experience.
I used to have people write down their experiences when they did come to me, and it was quite frequent. Many times a week, people would tell me that something happened, and I would ask them to write it down. So I just had, you know, hundreds and hundreds of reports from guests. One of the most interesting was this, and we didn't tell people about the ghosts. Mm-hmm. So some people might have known, but it wasn't common knowledge like it is today. We had this couple, little old couple from Texas, and he was diabetic, and they were sleeping upstairs, and they stayed three nights. So they were there on the weekend when there was a lot of people around. And on the third day, she comes down and she's to get the insulin we kept in our refrigerator, and she lingered a little bit. And I said, yeah, you know, I encouraged her to talk, and she said, is this house haunted? And I said, well, I can't tell. I didn't know what to say. I said, why? And she said, well, you know, the bed lifted in the middle of the night.
No, it's a special effect.
Well, yeah, holy cow. Well, actually, you know what? We had some journalists come and stay from the National Enquirer. And this was a few months before that. And the photographer drank a lot, and they were upstairs in that room. And she came down in the morning and said, the bed lifted in the middle of the night. Oh my God. You know? And I thought, well, that was the spirits in the bar, not the spirits in the room. But mm-hmm. then when this little couple told me the same thing, I thought, oh no, it's true.
Yeah.
So when it finally happened to me, and when I, you know, I'd stay in the different guest rooms, because it was fun, and the bed lifted and I'm floating around the room, I would have been terrified, but I'd heard the story by then so many times and knew the people survived that I was just enjoying that. It was cool.
Along like for the Aladdin. Ride. So, I mean, like literally, are we talking the mattress lifts up off the ground, or the bed as a whole lifts up off the ground?
The entire antique piaster bed floated about 4 inches off the ground and floated around the room. It's a good thing they had high ceilings.
Oh my God.
Yeah.
And did it knock anything over?
No, apparently there was an intelligence to it. It didn't hit anything. It was just a trip.
What was the story of that room?
I don't know. I was never able to trace down why the bed lifted in the middle of the night. That was Sarah and William Winter's room. Sarah was the sister of Lewis who died in the entry hall with the buffer, and that was her suite. And her and her husband ultimately bought the plantation from their parents, the Sterling family, and lived there. And one of the most famous murders at the Myrtles was he was tutoring one of their sons, and a man rode up on horseback to the north side of the house and called his name. Mm-hmm. And he went out and the man shot him, and there were still the bullet holes in the plaster and blood, and we couldn't get the blood off. But he walked into the house, he's calling for his wife, he walks up the stairs to the 17th step and died on the 17th step. And so every single night you hear footsteps going up to the 17th step. Mm-hmm. And you can be standing on the steps on the staircase and it will just pass right through you, which is a really weird feeling. But that was probably one of the most famous murders in the house.
With something like that, where it's happening night after night at the same time, is that a residual thing, you think, that's just kind of going? It sounds like there's a lot of conscious entities there, but are there some like that that are just the residual energy of the tragedies that have unfolded there?
Absolutely. A lot of the ghosts were not aware of us. They were going to do what they were going to do, regardless of if we're in the way, we're standing there, we're calling them. They, you know, they repeat like you said, residual. And then there's the other ghosts that call you by name and even have conversations with you. Mm-hmm. So yeah, there's the whole variety.
I'm interested to hear more about, earlier on you had said that when you began looking at the house, you were accidentally called Sarah. And obviously that's the name of one of the people who lived there many years ago. And then people around town started calling you Sarah just by chance. What do you make of that? Obviously we can see the correlation, but it is a random weird thing that suddenly other people are having this reaction to you.
At first I didn't correlate it because, you know, people call you the wrong name occasionally. They just don't remember your name. Even the real estate agent called me Sarah. I'm so sorry. But when so many people called me, mistook my name for Sarah, mm-hmm. you know, that was pretty interesting. And having the memory of the back staircase, I didn't quite relate to Sarah, to Sarah Sterling. Mm-hmm. And it took me probably 6 months to find out that General David Bradford, who led the Whiskey Rebellion, escaped George Washington's troops down the Mississippi River and came to Louisiana and got a Spanish land grant for $1.50 an acre, must be nice, and built the Myrtles. And he had several children, and he had a daughter named Sarah. And then it all came together because the original house was smaller. Mm-hmm. The south wing was added by the Sterlings, but the old staircase was part of his house, and mm-hmm. that's Sarah. And then I realized that's who I was. If there is such a thing as reincarnation, and I believe there is, that's who I was. And what was interesting about that is that my life paralleled hers, because, and that's another very famous story at the Myrtles. There was a slave girl named Chloe, and Sarah's husband had taken to her, mm-hmm. and was abusing her and forcing her into the nursery. When the children were gone, he would rape her. Mm-hmm. But she did enjoy, I don't want to say enjoy, wrong word. She had benefits from that. She got to work in the house and work. I don't know where I'm going with this, but one day Sarah went upstairs while the children were out, and up that back staircase, and she opens the door to the nursery and catches her husband with Chloe. Mm-hmm. And Chloe was terrified. She was scared to death they might, you know, kill her. What are they going to do to her? So to get back in good graces, she bakes them a cake, and she put poisonous oleander into the cake, thinking that she could nurse everybody back to health, and then she'd be back in everybody's good graces, and she could tolerate this life. Mm-hmm. And it backfired, and Sarah and two of her daughters died from this cake, eating this cake.
Wow.
Yeah.
What became of her after that?
The legend has it that the other slaves dragged her to the river and hung her. And she's one of the most famous ghosts, mm-hmm. that people see. She's even in photographs.
That's the wow. Very. Why do you think this location? I mean, obviously it was a location that owned slaves. So there's that dark piece of the chapter, the puzzle right there. But even beyond that, why do you think there was so much tragedy at this specific location? Or is the tragedy that went on there not that different than other plantations of the era?
All of the above. And I gave it a lot of thought when I was living there. Why here? Why, you know, I think that the South in general, that something to do with the humidity allows electrical energy to appear. I don't know. It's also on a parallel. A scientist from England came, and he was studying The pyramids, he said, were exact, that the Myrtles was exactly on the same latitude, longitude, whatever, as some of the pyramids. And that's why it had mystical powers. It sits on sacred Indian ground. There was an Indian cemetery right under the house in the 1600s and before the Indians. It was high on a mound. The Myrtles was like a sacred mound. Mm-hmm. And the house was built exactly at the top of it, and being the Indian burial grounds, and they paved over the graves to put in the parking. So that could very well be. And I think the passion and the love, and then the murders and the sorrow and the grief and the horrific things that they did to the enslaved people. I think it just makes it all, the vibration so intense.
Yeah. I mean, it's
but that's just my opinion. I don't know.
Oh, that laundry list of horrible things, that might be something to do with what's going on there. Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting thing, especially when you look at the Indian grounds as well, where the choice of where to put the property, you know, where to put the structure. Was that like an FU to the Native Americans at that moment in time when they built this thing, or did they just have zero regard and it really wasn't a second thought? It was just, we want to put this here and this is in our way.
Yeah, because even the Franciscan monks that moved in the 1600s were living in New Roads, and then they'd come over to St. Francisville to bury their dead. So not only the Indian burial ground, but the Franciscan monk burial ground. But it was just such a prime location, I think, being on this mound and a little bit higher than everything else. That's where any architect would choose for their house.
Yeah.
And I think that was more what it was about. I don't think the Indian graves were marked at that time. I think probably the Franciscan monks' graves were.
Mm-hmm.
I think that site had mystical properties and attracted people, and being up on that slight mound that, mm-hmm. And it already had mystical properties to begin with.
How did things, obviously you had been there for many, many years. How did your chapter come to an end with the Myrtles Plantation?
Well, that's where my life ties in with Sarah, because, I went to a party up in Woodville, and when I came back, I was looking for my husband, and I went up the stairs and opened the door to the old nursery and caught my husband in bed with somebody who worked for us, exactly like Sarah.
Wow.
So history repeated.
Yeah.
For some reason, I had to go through that. I was terrified I was going to die that night, because Sarah died that night.
Sure. So. And if you're playing along at home, you're like, let's let the coincidences stop here.
Exactly. I left and stayed with a friend.
Yeah. So you had that experience. And then was that it? Was that the end of you being a part of the Myrtles Plantation? Did you sell the property, or what occurred after that?
No, he left that day.
Okay.
And I got divorced 6 days later because I couldn't get a sooner court date, but that was St. Francisville. And I had intended to leave, and then suddenly I got a renewed interest in it, and I stayed another 5 years by myself.
Okay. What eventually did make you say, okay, I've done my time here, I'm good, thank you, good luck?
I actually believed that if I stayed any longer, I would die.
Really?
Because I started having health issues. By then I was in my 30s. Mm-hmm. And I'm having health issues.
Mm-hmm.
And I really believed if I stayed there, I would die. So I moved.
Sure. And when was this that you did end your relationship with the Myrtles Plantation? How long ago was that?
It was in the 90s. So.
Okay. So when that happened, and you stepped away from it, you sold it, How are you with selling it? When someone asked, is it haunted? I'm assuming there's a little more documentation out there at this point. Or did you play the role of, oh, don't be silly?
No. Yeah, by then it was pretty well known. But yeah. It wasn't as clean as that. A bunch of stuff was happening. And it just was time. And yeah. I made the decision.
Do you ever miss it?
Oh, gee. Average in burnout is what, 6 years? I was there for a decade. I intensely love it. I intensely hated it.
Yeah.
I've been there since the last time I was there. This is going to sound really weird. I felt like my soul was being sucked out. I was wide awake. I couldn't take it. Mm-hmm. And I grabbed my pillow and went and slept on the veranda. Mm-hmm. But there was a lot of people milling around that are now really good friends of mine. And I will not stay there again, not spend the night.
Wow.
I'm too afraid.
That wraps up part two of our conversation with Frances about the Myrtles Plantation. A big thank you to her for joining us on the program and sharing her experiences with us. And thank you for supporting the show and keeping us on the air. We would not exist without you. Until next time for the Grave Talks, I'm Tony Bruschi. Thanks for listening. Thank you.
Thank you.